All right, well, if you were able to watch or hear for the first time, I thought I would just do a very brief summary of what we covered on the first time. First of all, as I said then, I do thank you for the service, because it is a lot of work you put in, I know, to put together sermonettes. And sometimes when you can't find what you want to do, and it's Friday, it can be super stressful. So those things are the reality of speaking. But I thank you for that. I wanted to emphasize again, as we talked about last time, the importance of the sermonette and the role. Of course, we have split sermons and sermon givers here too, but we're focusing primarily on the sermonette. It is an important thing. I mentioned to you before, I don't particularly care for the idea that it's an appetizer or that it's the introduction to the sermon, because it's really a vital part of the service. And as I mentioned, in some cases, there are certain subjects that really need to be covered in a sermonette. It just doesn't work for a sermon. And so I really appreciate the work you do in that regard. It is very important, and I appreciate your willingness to improve. Probably over the years, some of you have actually read books on speaking, and it's one of the things I would like to do in a future seminar, is go through one of them. I found particularly helpful, and as kind of a workshop. We hope to be able to do this on occasion rather than let 7 years go by before we start do another sermonette seminar. But I appreciate your willingness to continue to improve. We did talk about the importance of the length of the sermonette, the discipline, and the fact that it is the assignment, 10 to 12 minutes, and to make sure that you are staying within that so that your messages can be effective. And the other thing was topic selection, the importance of making sure that we choose a topic that is appropriate for a sermonette, for the sermonette time period, but also something that is what the church teaches, and it's not all speculation. There will always be some speculation, but it's not all speculation. And to make sure we're careful about the sensitive subjects that maybe shouldn't be covered right now if it's something the church hasn't really come out with a statement on, but also things that are corrective in nature that tends just to not fall well on the ears of the listeners. Also talked about the idea of not choosing topics that we're going to harp on, just something we feel so passionate about that we just come across like we're angry about it and complaining about it, and oftentimes speaking to the choir anyway. So want to be careful the topics that we choose. Today, what I wanted to do in terms of the workshop was to talk first of all about some of the types of sermonettes, and then get into the workshop itself, where we're going to actually focus on narrowing a subject down to something that is very much within the realm of a sermonette, maybe even a two-minute sermonette. We want to just do an exercise. It's just an exercise. It's not something that I would expect you to do perhaps to that extent when you're actually giving a message, but it is a good exercise to go through. We did it with Mr. Richard Pennelly some years ago when he was still alive. He came in and did what he called the one-point sermonette seminar, and it really was, I got a lot of good feedback in terms of helping the brain think about narrowing a subject down. After we do that, we're going to do another exercise where we expand that narrow subject and fill it in. And so I hope that ends up being something that's helpful for you. First of all, I did want to talk about the types of sermonettes and encourage you to try to expand a little bit, do something maybe sometimes a little different than you might normally do. Maybe you typically do just Christian living sermonettes. I oftentimes find myself going to that in my sermons, and I've got a plan right now to touch on some more, get on some more prophecy. So you look back at your messages, and sometimes it's easy to see a certain pattern where we focus on one type of message. Sometimes it's good to break out of that pattern a little bit. So here are some of the types that you can think about. One is a lesson from a short Bible story. We oftentimes think of David and Goliath in terms of a kid's story, but not just a kid's story. It makes a great kid's story, but there's some amazing stuff to be gleaned out of a short story like David and Goliath. You could do a character study on a particular person in the Bible. I thought about giving a sermon on someone that we know very little about and realized I It's a lot of sermon material that is missing from the Bible because we don't know much about that person. But perhaps a sermonette would work in terms of what one or two little things we do know about the person. And it gives us a little insight about the person and something we can learn from their character or their life or trait that they have. Another type of study is, of course, the word study. Going into delving into one particular word, what it means in Hebrew, what it means in Greek, how it was understood in that day. And there's a lot of good resources out there that can be very instructive in terms of what these words would mean. And it gives us deeper insight into the scripture when we understand what it would have meant to the audience who was hearing it. Another one is, as I said, Christian living, a principle of Christian living. You know, why, for example, why do we practice anointing? Or some aspect of that. There may be a very specific doctrinal point that you could give a doctrinal sermonette. Obviously, to do a fundamental belief sermonette is difficult because you could spend several sermons on each one, perhaps. And so that would need to be narrowed quite a bit more. But one particular doctrinal point, you can do an exhortative sermonette, encouraging them, for example, to how to make more time for Bible study. A unique idea or two about how to make time for Bible study and prayer. That's more of an exhortative type thing. And also you can give an encouragement sermonette, one that's focused on encouraging them in some way. Say, examples of answered prayer, the effectiveness of prayer. And it can be something that encourages them. Another type of sermonette is the difficult scripture sermonette. And I really encourage you to do this occasionally because it not only trains us to explain something that's difficult and to explain perhaps why another group, the Catholics or Protestants, why they believe a certain way about a subject because of a certain scripture. And then you can explain the truth. It's a good exercise. And what I'm finding, especially with our young adults who are coming in for baptism counseling, we oftentimes will find that they have questions that are typical difficult scripture messages, things that we would oftentimes hear. And they have a question. I had a question just this past week. Two of them were questions that are perfect sermonettes for difficult scriptures. And it's on the list that I'm going to be talking about. But sometimes we can think that everybody already knows all these things. They've heard them. But oftentimes they haven't. And a lot of times people forget. We've got young people who need to know the answer to certain things. So I encourage a difficult scripture occasionally too. I will say at this point that I have a topic list that's going to be sent out to you. I think I didn't have everyone's, I don't know if everybody's got a Gmail address, but I have it in a Google form, a Google spreadsheet. And I think I figured out a way to make it so you can interact with that spreadsheet even if you don't have a Gmail account. As long as no one else gets hold of that address and to delete everything, as long as it's just us. So don't share the link because anybody who gets the link can delete stuff and add stuff. But I'm going to be sending that out, and it is the beginning of what I hope to be a very extensive list. Today, I would say it's probably only 10 or 20%, maybe just 10% what it could be. I've been going through, and some cases I've been adding difficult scriptures, other cases I've been adding topics. What I've done is I've created the topic, primary scripture, and then a description of that topic. And then I've put over to the right side a place where you can add comments. For example, if you see a particular subject, maybe you don't want to speak about it, but you heard or read a great story about that, you could actually put the URL to that story there, so whoever in the future chooses that sermonette can read that resource that you found, that you stumbled upon. And so I would encourage you, if you're doing some reading, maybe next month sometime, and you know that there's a topic that you just read about, you know, maybe put that in the comments. It's a way for you to contribute to the person who tackles that subject in the future. And there's also a place for you to put that you want to claim it. Great subject, don't want three of you working on it at the same time and you hear, oh no, he took my topic. There's a place for you to claim that you're planning to do this subject and give an idea, maybe you do it in July or something like that, the time frame. And so we're hoping it can kind of be a kind of interactive thing where you can share concepts, ideas. I do have a few websites that are not church related. So, you know, be careful. Not everything on that website is going to be right, but there can be some very helpful information to know as you're preparing for that sermonette. So a lot of it will be Life Hope and Truth articles, but and there's a lot more that I'm planning to continue to work on. So what you see is just the start of something when I send that out. Okay, so those are the types of messages. What I'd like to do now is have you each, in each table, have you start talking about a broad, general subject. Because what we're going to do in our workshop here today is we're going to take a broad subject, one that's clearly way too big. Mr. Pinelli gave the example in his workshop on love. And one of you may want to take the idea of love, but love obviously is huge. I told you last time that up in Minnesota we had a guy that covered love for a sermonette. He always was on time, and he did it in 12 minutes, but he covered love. And obviously, that's huge. So what you want to do is pick a topic, very general, and then, okay, let's narrow in a little bit. What's an aspect of, let's say, God's love? You could do how we show love to one another. You could do God's love. Pick one, and then talk about how a person might express that aspect of God's love. How might we express that aspect? Choose one thing that a person might do to show that. You might get all the way down to where you talk about how the greeters at the door show love on Sabbath. And focus the entire message. Now, I'm not suggesting do it, but you can focus the entire message on the importance of the greeters and us greeting one another. In some cultures, if you go ask for the price of something, that's rude until you say greetings. You can talk about that and how important the greeting is. How it's a way of showing love, showing attention to someone, greeting many different people. So I've started now to start expanding on, if I just did a sermonette on the greeters and how that's an aspect of showing love, how could I expand that? How could I magnify it? Could I tell a story that about the importance of a greeter or something a greeter said that made someone's day? There's all kinds of ways to expand on it. Once you get it down very tight, it almost seems like you can't fill 10 minutes. There's all kinds of ways to fill 10 minutes once you start really thinking about it. So the exercise is to narrow, and to find one point. And as he said in his instructions, to be able to write out an SBS in no more than 7 words. So that's your goal, is to get to an SBS in no more than 7 words. One point. And then we're going to come back and talk about what points you found, and we're going to talk about ways to expand that point. And you'll end up probably having more material than you can use, even though it's a very finite point. So go ahead and let's start by having all of you kind of just talk amongst yourself at your table. What subject, general, broad subject, do you want to start with and begin narrowing down? So go ahead and begin the workshop. All right, everybody, let's wrap it up and need to choose one person who will be your spokesman for the table. All right. You guys ready? All right, we'll start off with you guys. You guys, who's your spokesman?
Okay,
doing
so
Jeff?
Our impossibly big topic was the fruit of the Spirit.
Okay.
All right, do you want to end point or?
Okay. General progression.
Okay, so goodness, we'll do that. So ways to grow, right? Showing goodness to others. What is godly goodness? What's goodness in God's eyes? And then we landed on what is the goodness that Jesus taught versus the goodness of the world.
Goodness of Jesus taught versus the goodness of the world. So all the way from the Holy Spirit, fruits of the Spirit, all the way down to how Jesus showed goodness and what was the other
half? The goodness he taught versus the goodness of the world.
Okay, Harrison. How could they narrow that even more? Or open it up. How could they narrow the goodness of Jesus taught versus the goodness of the world? How could you narrow that even more?
Just take one specific example. I have to take one right off the top of my head, but I mean just one specific example of something Christ did compared to something the world.
Yeah.
You could even use something like the prodigal, not the prodigal son, but the
That was story he told, but you're looking for, that's a good way of doing it. Just saying, I mean, right off the bat, my thought was, you got two things in that specific purpose, Christ and the world. You could just cut the world and focus on Christ, and that halves it. And then one particular instance where Christ showed goodness, which is kind of where you're going, but you had that other one in there. So I don't do this to correct it. I think it's great. You kind of get the flow down, and you can certainly give a sermonette on that. But it's always good to try to go even further than may seem practical, because sometimes you'll hit on something that is just a nugget that's very memorable to people. Because if you talk about the goodness of Christ, it's something everyone knows, nothing new there. Might be hard to keep their attention, but if you find one little story of what he did and elaborate on that, just one little thing he did that he said, touching the person that had the what's the skin disease,
leprosy.
That simple touch, when he touched that person who never gets touched by anybody, and to tell the story of a leper and what they go through and all that, I mean, that's just an example, but you can kind of get it so narrow that people have never even really thought about it. I never thought about too much about how Christ touched the leper. So a good example, yeah. Who's you guys? You are, go right in. Wade, go ahead and start with the big one. And
so we start out with war. Wasn't my idea. We talked initially about nation versus nation. Talked initially about Matthew 24, where Jesus talks about there will be war and rumor of wars. We talk about warring parties. We talk about war in the angelic realm, where it's talked about how they petitioned, Michael was involved in petitioning for the body of Moses and everything. I believe it's in Jude. Lucifer versus God, how that's the beginning of all war. And then our own individual war with sin, and how we sort of take that upside down pyramid and start to make it smaller. And then we talk about, what about our war with God? Have we ever been in a situation where any of us are upset or any of us are mad at God?
Yeah.
A spouse that is very ill, or a spouse that almost passes away, whatever it may be, a child that goes through something, and we're asking God, why? And sometimes we struggle with that answer, to where it shows where at times, I'll be the first to raise my hand. You're looking for faith because you're wondering what's happening. And a lot of us have gone through various situations like that. And it brings up the topic of the scripture. When you think about when Jesus says, will I find faith when I return? We all know he's talking to us. He's not talking for various reasons, and that could be one of them, something that we went through individually to try and bring that topic down to our own war with God. And then, of course, referencing the situation of the 10 virgins that had the oil, and 5 did not have enough oil, but yet they did at one time. But there is a reason why they lost their faith, and they did not make it in. So what is the one sin that each of us might struggle with to bring it down is
so we're trying with to God, and then that one, was it we struggle with?
Yeah, the one that if Jesus is going to ask that question, will I find faith?
Yeah.
we need to look at that as if God is talking directly to us, one-on-one. Will I find faith when I return in you? And so take it down to that individual level.
So that our individual war with God.
Yes, sir.
Does anybody think of a way to even narrow it further?
A war all the way down to that. Sometimes that disagreement we may have with God sometimes. I think it's gone pretty good. The only thing I might add was picking one and telling a story of it. And it doesn't, because we all have our own disagreement or war with God. And when Naomi died, everybody had to go through a lot of that. And the sermon I gave up when we were up in East Texas was that, generally. But, you know, if you were to narrow it to one particular war, almost everybody's probably struggled with it at some point. So you could just pick one thing that, you know, a loved one dies, a child dies, you know. But the more narrow you can get it, that's where you're looking for. So let's go here. Todd, are you spokesman?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so our broad topic was the Sabbath. We tried to break down, like, categories of preparing for the Sabbath, New Testament, Old Testament covenants, Sabbath made for man, church doctrine, the fourth commandment, and then we focused on Sabbath made for man, and try to find a point in there for, you know, how was Sabbath made for man. We lead on the example of Christ harvesting corn on the Sabbath for his disciples, and how the Pharisees kind of blew that up in proportion, and this was an act of prayer.
So you got it down to that specific story, yes. Grain on the Sabbath, even grain, against the Pharisees' laws, it was considered harvesting. Yeah. And anybody figure out a way to get it even more narrow?
No, we actually pull it down to the example today of we eat on the Sabbath in our physical health. And I was telling you guys, we bought a gas range, and there was a code on it, and it had some information on it. And I'm like, what does that mean? There's something about the pilot light. And the Orthodox Jews believe that if your pilot light is on your stove, you have the potential to cook, which is against their guidelines because you are preparing food. So there is a feature on that you can disable that and turn the pilot light off. Talk about straining at the
That's a good story to tell. It's personal experience. It talks about, and then why is it that some, the Jews, don't believe you can have the fire? And then go into the scripture. And it's all about the Sabbath, but it's a very, very specific aspect of it. Which, frankly, when you explore that specific aspect of it, it helps us apply the principle in other areas of life. You don't have to cover everything about how to keep the Sabbath. You cover one principle, and that helps us apply it. We can apply it in our own minds without you having to give the whole story. So yeah, I think that's good. Coming right down. Anybody know of a way you could even get it narrower?
Turn off the gas line.
Well, you can use a specific example, like you said, to really focus on the intents, and then pick that one aspect and look. Here's what the original intent was. This is where they took it.
Right. Yeah. Right. So you're focusing on that one story, but it's teaching the intent. But it's doing so by not addressing, you know, what is the intent of keeping the Sabbath, because that's big. But the specific instance of the grains on the Sabbath or the pilot light, whichever one you wanted to go with. But you could choose one and just go from there. Told a story recently where they wouldn't flush their toilets. Somebody told me that here locally, one of the local resorts, when the Jews came from New York, they wouldn't flush the toilets. The servants had to come in and flush it for them. So, anyway. All right, last table.
We went
with the even the broad subject of narrowing down love into fatherly love.
Okay.
So thinking of that as kind of a broad topic, and kind of went the direction of thinking about how our relationship with our father, you know, spiritual fatherly relationship versus a physical fatherly relationship. Then kind of went the direction of thinking around narrowing that into the idea of like, well, going to your father, the part of going to your father. And then Mr. Perry came up with the idea of or thinking about, well, that can be challenging for some people because not everybody's had a good relationship with a father physically. And so our narrow topic is facing the challenges of going to our father. Maybe using an example like that that maybe people haven't considered, yeah, as far as like that may be a challenge for some folks. And you know, we haven't seen our Heavenly Father,
right,
in a way. And so kind of going that direction and thinking about from that way.
Yeah. Anybody figure out a way to even get it narrower than going to our physical father when there's been problems? Basically what it is?
Yeah, well, yeah, just the how do we go, you know, thinking, yeah, about like the challenges going to our spiritual father.
Yeah. So you take a story of someone having to go to their father for a specific thing, how difficult that was, and then you almost have to get to a specific instance.
Usually people can relate to them.
Yeah.
You know, and they open up the topic of the conversation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if you, I mean, to tell a story of an instance where it happened would be a perfect way to introduce something like that. The idea is that if I were to give you more time, which we don't have, you could get this thing narrow. You know, showing love to a man named Sue who has diabetes and is having trouble with his 7-year-old Yorkshire on a Wednesday. I mean, it's absurdly, but how narrow can you get it? And so I want to encourage you on your messages, go through the exercise. You may not choose the most narrow, but go through the exercise, because oftentimes there's several nuggets down there that would make perfect stories. Now I asked Charles to come up, he's going to do our whiteboard. We're going to I want to get your input now. He's going to write this down in terms of ways we can take that narrow subject. What techniques can we use now to think about how we might teach it? For example, the last one we talked about, just put down personal story. And that, you know, Kevin had the personal story with the pilot light. That's a way that you can now elaborate on, in this case, a flame on the Sabbath. Tell a personal story. Any other thoughts of techniques you can use to elaborate on this now?
A biblical illustration and obviously an example.
Yep.
The Old Testament uses got a lot more of
A biblical, and that's a good point, because some people, personal stories, your own experience, that's good. Some people enjoy bringing a biblical story in. Pastor gave a whole sermon on Star Wars once. That's kind of a story that's not a biblical story, and he didn't connect with everybody because it wasn't a biblical story. Yep. A single Bible verse that's relevant. Okay. Very good. Okay, so we've got single Bible verse. Anything else?
Yep. Prop.
A what?
Prop.
A what?
Prop.
Prop. Sorry. For some reason I thought you were saying problem. Prop, absolutely, visual aid of some type. Flame. Yeah, you could use a presentation software, PowerPoint, sometime. Anything else come to mind? I've got one.
A movie or a book or a story that you know?
Just a general story that illustrates the point, yeah.
Last week I used a movie that I watched.
Yeah.
Yeah, something else.
Like my Sabbath note last night, baseball movie I saw. Yeah. Yep.
What I do sometimes is I'll just go on the internet and say what happened on this date, like the date that I'm going to be on the sermon.
Okay. Yeah, just put trivia. Interesting trivia, because that covers a lot. What happened on this date? And then you might also put statistics. Find interesting statistics on something. I've got that as a little part of my sermon today.
Like a news clip or some sort of a current event story.
Current event story. Could also find an interesting quote.
Quote or a
question? What's that?
A quote or a question.
A quote, yeah. I just said quote, so. So these are, I mean, anything else come to mind? Yeah?
I don't know if anybody else has had this before, but I actually had people ask me, could you give a sermon or a message on this particular topic?
Sure.
Yeah,
but it's a request. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so you got a lot of different things here now that you can use. And what I want to do for a few minutes, we won't take a long time, but go ahead and pick for the subject that you chose, the narrow one, go ahead and choose a few ways that you would expand it. Just talking among yourselves. We're not going to report back what we chose, but choose a few ways that you think would work really good to expand what topic you came to. To magnify. Richard Pennelly puts it this way. He says, narrow then magnify. And he actually said, isolate then magnify. So you've isolated a topic. Now how would you magnify that? Go ahead and talk amongst yourselves. And again, we won't take the time to report back. Yeah, you want to be careful. It's a good point. You want to be careful that your message is spiritual and Bible-based, not story-based. So sometimes if you put too much emphasis on a story that's not biblical, say it's a movie, you know, something clearly secular, that to me, it's a little different than a personal story. But if it's clearly secular, you want to not spend as much time on it. You know, tell the story quickly and move on to the base. It's the same idea as basing a whole sermon on Star Wars. You know, it's interesting, but it's kind of going too far in some ways. So let me just conclude, because I want us all to be able to get back out there. Again, the purpose here is to just the exercise of narrow. Had we had more time, I think you guys could have narrowed these things to something that's just really that kernel, and then use some of these techniques, chosen some to. And sometimes you don't know what you're going to do. You may need to look at stories. Do an internet search for stories about something. Nothing suits your fancy there. Look for quotes. Any personal stories you might tell. Stories are powerful. Is there a word study you could do? Just delve into a word used in the scripture you're focusing on. Get your options together and then choose which direction you want to go. But one thing you might do, and we'll put the picture out, we'll put the list out so everybody has it. And there's probably a number of other things we could add to it. But go through that process, and that way I think it will help you pick a topic that's very, very within the sermonette realm, but expand on it in ways that oftentimes people haven't heard. I had Dave Albert as my homiletics instructor, and I chose him because I heard he was hard on people. And he was vicious on people. I would never be that hard on him. But he would literally, if you get it, you start giving a sermonette on something he's heard, he'd break in and say, just go sit down. I've heard that 100 times. And we'd literally have to go sit down, come up with another topic sometime. He did not want to hear what he'd heard 100 times. He wanted to hear something, an old subject told in a new way, to put something fresh in there. Otherwise, he'd just literally tell us to sit down. Now, we're not going to do that here, but think about the fact that oftentimes if our message is too broad, it's all platitudes. We need to show love. Platitudes, everybody. But if we can get specific, then we can get to an area that someone is challenged in their mind to think, well, how would I do that? I've never thought about that specific aspect. You know, how might I approach my boss under a certain situation? Then we can glean principles from that. But I hope this helps you in that way. One thing I am going to ask that I'm going to send out a note to those of you who are speaking and ask you to give input to one another and ask you to share your topics. And the ideal here is at least a couple weeks in advance, so you have time to focus on that message rather than being, as I said last week, a Friday night wonder. Give the topic a couple weeks in advance to your other team members. It'd be three or four on your team. And then those of you, when you get the topic, you know, if you have any input, first thing you might ask, is that narrow enough? And maybe you can help talk through it, get it narrower. Another thing, you might suggest a story that you read, interesting statistic that you found. Give a little bit of input so that, and again, you don't want to, you can't use it all, but you can find what works. And so the idea is to kind of work together a little bit as a team, thinking through someone else's sermon that can help you prepare yours as well. It's just that whole exercise of thinking them through. So I'm also going to send you a form that was sent out some years ago to the pastors. It's for evaluating sermonettes. You all remember Spokesman's Club? Something positive, something to grow on. You know, don't be too harsh, but the idea is to get some additional input from when we give our message. So we're getting a little input before, getting a little input after. And also, I would encourage you, as you see the list of topics that comes out, and we're going to keep building on that, develop a sermonette garden. Put it that way. It's where you write down sermonette ideas. Maybe a notebook where you write it down. Top of the page is the idea. You use the rest of the page to narrow. Use the rest of the page to collect stories or quotes or things over the course of even several months. So you may have 10, 15 different ideas going at any given time. Most of them aren't ready to go, but you've settled on the one that you've given a lot of thought to, and you've got plenty of material, and it seems like an appropriate topic. I encourage you to do that and to share among your team the kind of subjects you're working on. So we're trying to get a little more of a give and take among each other to improve our messages. And I think this type of focusing on the topic is what we've primarily done these two sessions. My sermon today, I tried to do what I asked you to do. I was going to talk about prayer. And I narrowed it. I narrowed it down to asking a prayer at a meal. I'm going to give my tire split on asking a prayer at mealtime, which is a good sermonette topic, but it's challenging for a split because how much can you say about that? So I had to kind of go through the process myself, challenge myself in the same way I'm asking you to do as well. So we will go ahead and any thoughts or questions before we close? Anybody? Yep, Joe.
Yeah. People don't have to come to church every week. With everything that's on the internet, they can listen to sermons at home and have quality messages. Push yourself to make something that's interesting and applicable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very important. I've seen congregations sometimes the attendance goes down.
Yeah. And we want, you know, it's like you say, we want to give the best we can give. Jim Pranks always says, I want to give the best message that I possibly can give on that day. It won't always be my best one ever, but it's the best I can give on the day I gave it. And that's what we're shooting for. And to feed, as I said last week, to give the brethren a meal that they can think about.